See, she cut you off.
Blog Talk Radio.
I keep going anytime I want.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is
what?
My name is
Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Yeah.
Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yeah. Start the show.
We got you covered.
Never
LA to
Chicago.
London
we never get
to Brazil, from Atlanta to Portland.
Yeah, we definitely. Hopefully next year I'll get a chance to go a little international and y'all. Should be fun. Hey, welcome, of course, Talking Sports with the 12th man. December is upon us, gentlemen. We are ready to get this party started on our Sunday, December the 2nd. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We're officially Talking Sports with the 12th man. I normally have a nice little pun before I get started. Again, I'm going to check in with my fellas, starting out with JQ, who hopefully won't get fired for anything. You know, I mean, just like Mike McCarthy had a tough night, man. But again, JQ, how you feel this evening, bro?
Oh, man, I'm good. Ohio State won a Big Ten title. I know we didn't make the playoffs, but I'll still take the Rose Bowl and see my buddies in the Pacific Northwest in the Rose Bowl here. I'll take that.
Okay. You going to be traveling out there for that trip over there?
Say what?
To the room.
Oh, no, I'm not going.
You know,
I'm preparing to watch it on TV.
Okay. I mean, I just asked. I mean, I don't know if you had connections or, you know, like I said, how you be traveling and stuff like that. You know, we're going to be like JQ when we grow up and stuff like that. So,
whatever.
All right. All good. Let's check in with Mr. Rob Ford. How you doing this evening, bro?
Man, doing great. No complaints at all. Ready to talk some sports.
Rob is ready to go. Normally, for the West Coast, he normally gives us a quick recap of what he ate, man. But since you guys have joined on, he has not done that, man. So I guess time is of the essence. Curtis and Gary, again, we'll check with you guys in a quick second for obviously our Oregon sports report. Yeah, and we're going to have some fun getting checking with them too as well. So we get started really quickly. I'm going to throw out the numbers like we always do every single time we do the show. We're actually in our sixth season, believe it or not, man. So we're having some fun with this. But again, numbers calling to the show, it's always, every time, it's 424-243-9519. That's the number to call into your boys. The sugar has no heart, so keep it short and sweet, as we always like to say, and keep it sports-related if needed. And then finally, follow us on Twitter, which is at the number 12, THMAN Sports. Hope Gary and Curtis, you guys will follow us on that as well. And then obviously check in on us on Facebook. You can go to facebook.com/12manSports or Talking Sports with the 12th man. You will find us in that arena. So let's kick it off with the West Coast, Curtis and Gary. Start us off with the Oregon Sports Report, sir.
Yeah. All right, Gary, well, thank you. I know y'all secretly celebrating Pittsburgh losing right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm all about it.
Right. Well, we're going to talk about the Blazers. They lost a tough one. They lost to a team in San Antonio that needed a win desperately, and they got it. Blazers right now are 13-10 in seventh position in the West. Hey, the LA Clippers are still in first place. Damian did have a good night tonight. He had 37-10. But he just couldn't pass that team tonight. I know that seventh spot, we got the Lakers that are, I think, are a spot ahead of us.
The Lakers are at the fifth spot now.
Oh, are they at the fifth spot? Okay, Lakers. Who's in the eighth spot?
Right now, the Mavericks are in the eighth spot. I don't think they're going to stay that way, but that's where they are right now, is 11-10.
Okay.
Yeah, it's still real early in the NBA season.
Yeah.
And I said this last week. It is a scary thing for us in Portland, Oregon. The Blazers may not make the playoffs. They may not.
Wow.
When this thing is all said and done, they lost to Denver before they lost to San Antonio like they did. They lost to Denver here at in Portland at home.
And they got the last shot and couldn't close it out.
If you're not beating Denver, you're not beating the Phoenixes, you're not beating the Utahs, you have no shot in Blazer land to get in the playoffs. They got to beat those people.
Speaking of Denver, Denver's actually number one in their Western Conference right now, so they're playing really good ball, 15-7.
Yeah.
Playing good team basketball as well. And you mentioned the Lakers. Lakers on the fifth spot is 14-9. Actually, Denver and the Clippers are both tied at 15-7, but the Nuggets on the tiebreaker at the moment, so Nuggets will have the first place spot. I would think that it's something in Portland right now. They're 3-7 in their last 10 games. They got off to a great start. Now they're back down to the seventh spot. Kind of where I predicted them to end the season. I thought Portland was somewhere around an 8 seed, getting into the playoffs by the time we get to the end of the year. Obviously, as Curtis mentioned, there's still a lot of basketball to be played. So a lot of things still need to shake out and play out. But I would imagine there's a little bit of concern with the way they played in the last 10 games at 3-7.
Well, absolutely. And if we want to move on, I know Curtis is really interested in giving his two cents on the Portland Timbers. They had a huge win beating Sporting KC 3-2 in Kansas City. Curtis, you want to give an update on that?
Well, I was with a big group of people at a sports bar, and just when I mentioned, you know, I haven't seen Valeri, our superstar, and last year's league MVP. I haven't seen him score in a while. And a minute later, he had a header to tie the game. And Kansas City was playing the tightest defense. That's what they're known for, is their defense man-on-man. Valeri, towards the end of the game, got a breakaway, one-on-one, and it was money. Valeri put it in the back of the net. One of the interesting things about MLS soccer, and soccer in general, there was an incident in Kansas City where a fan threw a beer bottle at the Timber player and threw it down on the field. They stopped that game. The coach of the opposing team went over to that section, and the security ushered those people out of that stadium. They will have none of that in the MLS, in soccer. And I remember the big thing that the European soccer did with, they had a big campaign against racism in all their European stadiums. And they weren't going to stand for that crap and people yelling that kind of stuff in those stadiums. That's a very interesting concept. And, you know, there's that debate about, you know, when a person buys a ticket to a game, what their rights are and what their rights are not.
Right. I've heard about this. Yeah.
I think that it's, you know, they're playing that game. They're playing in Atlanta.
Yeah.
At Mercedes Stadium. They got 70,000. There's going to be 70,000 people there, you know, ready to battle that. What I'm real confident about the Timbers in this one is all of their matches that they've won, that they've closed out, has been on the road, which is unusual for any sport, you know, to close out every series you're playing on the road. So they're a good traveling team, and we're real proud of them here in Rip City.
Yeah, that 70,000 gets roaring down there, though. I've been to a number of games. That's gonna be tough play.
It's gonna be crazy. Not
that it can't be done.
Yeah,
not that it can't be done. But it's gonna be tough play.
If I get lucky, I might be there.
Oh.
We'll have to see how it goes. Yeah. I might be there, and I might be in Atlanta, and I might be at that game.
Wow.
And okay. I think the Timber Army is going to travel well. I think they might even charter a Delta plane, a big one, to take all the Army to this game in Atlanta. They've done that in the past, and I expect them to do that here. And I expect the Timbers to be well represented. What I have to figure out is when the MLS went, maybe 5 years ago, I heard it was before the Timbers became the Timbers in the MLS. But these games used to be played in a neutral site. And that has changed. And I got to figure out when that changed. And, you know, now I guess the team with the best record gets the one game. And the championship in the MLS is not aggregate scoring. It's not a two-game series. It's one game.
I know you're watching the game. I was going to say, too, so again, here in Atlanta, obviously, we're pretty excited about the Atlanta United making the playoffs. And then it's kind of ironic that we're going to run into the Timbers, who obviously you guys have a great interest to. And I guess at some point, want to get your feedback because, again, I think for us, I don't know if you've seen Atlanta play, so I know we've got a pretty high scoring offense. Obviously, we've got the two stars, we've got, Amarone. And we've got a couple good, squads here. So, and Jose Martinez. So we got some squads here. So I'm curious to see how we match up and if Portland can kind of stop the Atlanta United. And as JQ, we have a definitely rambunctious crowd too. 70,000. They're definitely starving for a championship, man. So I know that Portland travels well, and you got your contingency and stuff like that. But I'm not sure if they're gonna be ready for that rambunctious crowd for sure, man. So it's gonna be. I mean, it's going to be pretty exciting. We'd love for you to experience that. But, again, I know it's going to be a definite experience if you do get a chance to come down and see Mercedes-Benz and stuff like that, guys.
Wow, you mean Atlanta United is drawing more than the Falcons right now?
Oh, yeah.
Sad to say, yeah.
Wow. That stadium in Atlanta was half empty today, and they had most of the Ravens fans in.
Well,
that United crowd is ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's true. That United crowd is rocking. And you don't rarely see any opposing teams in there. It's 70,000 plus. Not just 70,000. I think Atlanta United now has like five of the top MLS attendance records. It gets stupid. It's gonna be tough. If you get to come and experience that, you should. That's gonna be a crazy environment exactly. Sorry, Jenny.
No, that's a good point. Good, definitely recap. So anyway, I know we got a lot of things to discuss too. So we'll keep this moving here. I know we will definitely get caught up, guys, on the Cowboys Saints and little things like that too. I know we're gonna do a quick NFL recap, but I know we're gonna definitely talk about a couple of things, a lot of interesting headlines that happened, some things that happened literally today. We're gonna touch on Mike McCarthy getting fired by the Packers. Interesting move because I wonder. And again, we'll talk about this as well as far as how that impacts the Browns because we thought that would be – he may be a candidate for the Browns, and that's an interesting scenario too. And obviously we'll talk about Kareem Hunt getting – I know JQ was on that whenever it happened, and then literally he got released by the Chiefs. So we'll talk about that, how that impacts them moving forward, and little things like that too. So, Rob, go ahead and hit the stage for a quick NFL recap, and JQ will kind of follow and let you kind of do your thoughts as well too. So go ahead, sir.
Yeah, as Andre alluded to, there's a couple of games we're probably going to talk a little bit more in detail about, and that's the game that's taking place right now, the Chargers and the Steelers, the Vikings and the Patriots, and, of course, the McCarthy and the Kareem Hunt situations. Now, I'm just going to do kind of a quick rundown of some other things, and of course, we'll talk about the Cowboys and the Saints on the other night, too.
we're going to talk about that.
Where's Corey at?
Just so you know, I was a good sport. I sent Gary a congratulations text message.
Absolutely, you did. Fantastic.
but we'll get to that in a second. But anyway, just a quick recap on some of the other things that happened today. Obviously, the Ravens with Lamar Jackson, three straight starts, three wins in a row, and the way they're running the football right now, over 700 yards rushing in the last three games for the Baltimore Ravens, and obviously Lamar Jackson, Gus Edwards, a big part of that, and what they're doing in advancing to 7-5. Our Giants, big win in overtime over the Bears, 30-27, got a field goal in overtime, and they've been playing much better football of late. Obviously, I don't see the playoffs in their future, but definitely playing a lot more competitive football here in the last few weeks. Broncos, another team I think has won three or four games in a row since it came off the bye week, playing phenomenal defense. Phillip Lindsay, what a great day running the football for them today. So you had him on your fantasy team. Big day by Phillip Lindsay running the football. Rams, kind of quiet offensively today. They got a little slow to get going. Pretty good defense today, but they got the win. Jared Goff was quiet as well in his numbers, but they still got the 30-16 victory, and they moved back into the number one spot in the NFC with the Saints loss. Jaguars, I tell you what, they haven't been playing defense like this all year. The Colts have been on fire for about the last 5 to 6 weeks, and the Jaguars just shut them out 6-0. I didn't see that one coming at all. Texans just continue to steamroll. Nine straight victories now, 9-3. And as we've been talking about, this is a scary team because they're getting it done in really all three phases of the game. Defensively, they're getting it done. Offensively, they're getting it done. So this is a scary team. And right now, from what I can see, maybe the team that can possibly contend with the Chiefs. And, of course, I'm sure the Patriots are going to have something to say about that. Jameis Winston, a few good games in a row here to really get it going. And they get a win. They give the Panthers their fourth straight loss. But so the Bucs, a couple of wins in a row, and Jameis Winston has really played well in both of those victories. So he's reclaiming that starting job in Tampa Bay. And the Chiefs in the shootout again. It seems like they're in the shootout every week, but they just continue to outscore people. 40-33, another big day for Patrick Mahomes, and we'll talk about him in the MVP conversation again. Pete Carroll has got to be one of the best coaching jobs he's done. We didn't see this coming from the Seahawks team this year, 7-5, right there in a wild card conversation in the NFC. They get a big win, 37-16. Russell Wilson, four touchdown passes today, and a big win, 37-16 over the 49ers.
Yeah,
and Steelers just tied the game up.
Yeah, they did. To me, it was more of the not necessarily so much the separation Sunday, but you saw some of the wild card action that that I got out of it. The Seahawks getting another favor with the Panthers, even though on the head to head, having the Panthers lose another game going further down in that wild card spot, and also the Vikings as well losing by 14 to the Patriots in the NFC side. And then you look at the AFC side, Broncos beat up on my Bengals, but that was to be expected. The Dolphins are quite like still standing in the hunt. I believe at 6-6 now. The Ravens keeping their hat in the ring as well. The Colts test is taking the hit, losing that way to the Jaguars. You're starting to see some, it's starting to take a little bit more shape and form in terms of those wild cards, like you said, Pete Carroll and the Seahawks, what they're doing in the NFC. Real quiet, they don't really have all the names in the secondary, but they still got Bobby Wagner. And he returned one pick return today in that game against San Francisco. That defense is still playing, not at that same level, but they're not no getting. So that's what I took away from. If you see in Seattle and you see in Houston and the NFC and the AFC, surging, and it's common denominator that Seattle outside of Deshaun and Russell is those defenses are playing better.
I muted myself. Very nice, guys. All right, yeah, as Robert mentioned, man, I know, again, we give him credit for doing the texting and not being a good sport about a couple things too, man, but we'll keep on that too. Hey, really quickly, do you guys have anything to talk really quick about the Vikings, the Patriots? I know West Coast. I don't know if you want to chime in on that real quick, and we'll talk about some our quick thoughts on Kareem Hunt and little things like that.
Here we go. And I would like, I'm almost at the point now, and every year I try to set myself, I try to set myself up and try to see if I can make it to the Super Bowl. And being in Atlanta this year, there's a good chance I can be at the Super Bowl. But if New England is going to get in the Super Bowl, I don't think I want to go to that. I think I'm a little bit tired of New England getting in these Super Bowls. And the only chance we got, because their last games are against their division, except for one, they got a game coming up with Pittsburgh. And one of my only hopes is that Pittsburgh can beat them. Because if not, New England's going to get home field throughout the playoffs, and teams seem to have the hardest time going up to that Gillette Stadium and getting out of there. And it's gonna sicken me to see New England back in another Super Bowl. Tom Brady back in another Super Bowl.
Now, how much weaker is Kansas City right now with the loss of their
running back? That's what we're talking about.
We've talked about it. We talked about it with Corey Stringer. We talked about it with the Cowboy running back losing six games last year. When these teams get these on that suspension, and other, when teams get these huge distractions, and I don't know if it takes away from their focus. I don't know if it takes away from their concentration. You got something really big that happened in Kansas City. And it was horrible to watch. I can't believe a football player would kick a woman. What in the age are you doing?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And what I'm saying is, when you've got, you got something that happens like that, and you're in the position to be a legitimate Super Bowl contender, and you fire one of your best players on your team, I think that was absolutely the right thing to do, even though I believe it weakened that team, and they may not even have a chance now with that move. But I believe, and I'm posing this to the rest of the group, if you were running that franchise and you were in that same position, would you make that move knowing that it's taking you all those years that you have to build that one team that has that legitimate shot? Andy Reid's got
PR
that.
PR nightmare.
Oh, that's an easy PR nightmare. What the Chiefs did, I mean, that's an easy call right there. And
yeah.
And to be perfectly honest with you, I think the NFL failed again in this situation, because the NFL has been knowing about this for a very long time, even prior to TMZ releasing that video. And it took for the world to actually see it before the NFL did something about it. And so I actually think the NFL, Kareem Hunt probably shouldn't have been playing this year at all. But it's definitely – they had to do that. Both the NFL and the Chiefs had to do it. And really, to be totally honest with you, they made a mistake for waiting this long. But they really did.
I believe Roger Goodell is the worst commissioner in sports.
Oh, thank you. How many years have we been doing this?
Every move he makes is a wrong move. I mean,
You know why he's not? Because he's doing exactly what the owners want him to do. He takes all the criticism that they don't have to take, because you're right, Rob. There's no way TMZ should be able to scoop you on that, and you're the NFL. That shouldn't happen. If it happened last February, I don't know all the circumstances that would happen, but you got to be out in front of that. You can't let TMZ scoop you. You have all the resources to be able to get that video. That being said, I think that's part of the reason why they had a difficult time in Oakland today. But that LSU Tiger they got, Spencer Ware from Cincinnati, Ohio, is not a bad running back in a pinch. He's not going to be your
starter. That's what
they're going to be good, I think.
That's what I was going
to
say.
I think Spencer Ware can still carry the mail for them going down the stretch if they're able to manage these next couple of weeks of the distraction. Right? You're right. It is a distraction. But they can manage that piece of it. He's still talent-wise, still gives them enough with Patrick Mahomes in that offense to still be really, really, really dangerous. So I'm not going to put too much water on their Super Bowl chances quite yet. It'll be the defense that does the job, not the running back position. So that's just my 2 points. But Roger Goodell is doing everything the NFL owners want to do. They don't get any criticism. It all goes to him.
He's
that
the fall guy.
That goes to them in Kansas City. Why don't you know? Yeah, he's the fall guy. That's why they're paying $30 million a year. So, yeah, you can say what you want to say about him. He's still sitting there bathing and jumping into the bed like Scrooge McDuck with $30 million a year, and we hate him, but he's still keeping that job. So, I mean, who's really losing in that situation? I mean, not him, and not financially.
Mm-hmm. He's sleeping good at night. I love it, JQ.
Yeah.
Great point.
Well, he's definitely not losing financially, but he's just botched a lot of bad decisions for the NFL. There's no doubt about it. I agree with JQ from the Chiefs standpoint. Obviously, Kareem Hunt was, he can take it to the house on any given play. Now, Ware may not have that quick strike ability, but they can still move the ball down the field with Spencer Ware. They just lose a quick strike weapon. And that's about, they add a bruiser. And one thing Spencer Ware does, he's also a good blocker out of the backfield, too. He's a good pass protector as well. So that's another thing he's really good and effective at. So the Chiefs still going to put up a lot of points. There's no doubt in my mind. And they're still going to be a team to reckon with coming forward. You still got to outscore this team. There's no doubt about it. They're still going to be – based on what I see on their schedule, I think they're going to get one more loss this year. So I think they'll finish 13-3. I think that game at Seattle is going to be a tough one for them. I could see that being a loss. And then when you look at the Patriots schedule, I see one loss on their schedule too, and that's at Pittsburgh. I think that's going to be a loss for them. So I think when it's all said and done, I think the Chiefs have a really good shot to still have a home field advantage. If that happens, they'll still have a one game. If both of them lose one more game, then the Chiefs will still have a better record. So I think from the way it looks, and I think the Chiefs still has the better end of the deal. But you got to watch those Texans. I don't know if I see another loss on the Texans schedule.
Gotcha. But
the Texans lost to the Patriots. That's one of their losses.
It's momentum.
You got to watch the playoffs.
Yeah, playoffs. They're playing with a lot of momentum, too. Yeah, go ahead, Ralph.
Yeah, but if the Texans win out and the Patriots lose one more game, then the Patriots will be the 3 seed. And I'm assuming the Chiefs will get the tiebreak over the Texans. And because one of the Chiefs lost to the Rams and in the NFC. But so if it plays out based on what I see on paper, the Chiefs will lose one more game. The Patriots will lose one more game. The Texans will win out. And that will mean that the Texans and the Chiefs will both be 13-3, and the Patriots will be 12-4. If that happens, obviously, you got to play the games every week. You never know. But if that so happens to play out, then the Chiefs will be the 1 seed, Texans will be the 2 seed, the Patriots will be 3, and the Steelers, even if they somehow went out, will still have that tie on their record, so they will have to battle with New England for that 3 or 4 spot.
Really quickly, guys. So I need to be as brief as possible. Is Kareem Hunt done in the NFL? I know he's kind of young, but really quickly. Okay, Rob?
I'm going to say no as well, because I think, it's when Ray Rice said, it had needed some time for – by the time – NFL teams got over the situation with Ray Wright. I think he was kind of a little bit up there in age. He was about 30-something years old. The only thing good going to Kareem Hunt's favor right now
is that he's still very young. And, you know, this is a forgiving society. And but, you know, he's going to have to show, ooh, did he make it? Oh, it looked like he missed it.
No, he missed it. He missed it, yep.
Overtime.
Offside.
Wow. But he's young. It is a forgiving society. And another year or two, if he can do the right things in the community and things of that nature and show himself that he can stay in shape, he probably will get another shot.
Curtis Gary,
there's a flag.
America loves to take it down, but America also loves the Gilbert Gibson story. I agree. If he shows
the world,
Chiefs get another shot. I mean, not Chiefs, Chargers.
We got to look up that rule. I heard something about it today when I left the house. He got released, and the NFL allows a time clock period. And I saw on the internet leaving my house that Cleveland's already trying to get the rights to Kareem Hunt right now.
Wow.
They're allowed to some kind of way.
Yeah, he will have another shot. I mean, and like what Robert said, you know, it's a forgiving league, and you know, if he does the right thing over a period of a few years and comes in and whatever punishment he has, he takes with dignity or whatever, and get counseling or whatever it is, people will forget about it because he's a good player and they'll move on.
The one thing that I also heard, though, on that situation is that the police may reopen their case. The Cleveland police may reopen that case because something happened there that the Cleveland police messed up some things, too. Reopen it. And if that guy gets charged with a crime, I think we're talking about a whole new ball game here.
Okay. Yeah, we'll keep an eye on that. Like I said, I was just curious. I was trying to keep that brief as possible. And I keep the majority of y'all think he's got another shot because he's such young. All the good jazz, man. But, man, they actually pulled it off. All right. Really quickly, guys. So we've got, after a lot of drama, looks like they actually pulled it off. The Chargers pull off this win. Hey, all right, gentlemen. Let's talk about who would you rather start your franchise with? And this is a good question. Baker Mayfield or Deshaun Watson? And for me, just as I kind of like start off with this, I'm going to say Deshaun Watson. And my caveat, I know it's kind of like pre-injury because you hope he's going to like obviously get back to where he was before. But I'm saying Deshaun Watson because I think Deshaun, I was a fan of him as far as his intangibles in college, and the fact that he had a chance to beat Alabama, I think that was a really kind of an impressive win, you know, because he kind of showed his mettle. And again, not to say that, you know, Baker, you know, whatever, but I just feel from that particular time, I just thought so highly of him, and he was definitely doing some things, you know, before he got hurt. So hopefully, if he kind of gets back to that pre-form, I think he's got a lot of promise. Nothing against Baker Mayfield. I think it's almost like a, you know, maybe like a 1-2 situation too. But from my perspective, that's who I'm starting my franchise with. Deshaun Watson, I just, you know, think highly what he, you know, his family, what he came through. I mean, he has a lot of boxes, so, you know, good guy to kind of get behind and rally to support your team, too. What would you say, JQ?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Deshaun, too, as well. And not to make it not a leader, but I think I've seen more from Deshaun, much more of a leader that he is for that team already. And what he did in Clemson, you know, is already been stated, as like you earlier. And while Baker is a good athlete, Deshaun Watson is still for the next, I think, 5 to 6 years. If he's straight with his legs, I think that added dimension, going to be able to break out the pocket and just absolutely roll on you, is something that Baker doesn't have to that level. But yeah, I'm with you. I'm going to go with Deshaun.
I'm out.
Go ahead, Curtis. What you got?
Yeah, no, I was just saying, maturity. Baker had a police video. He grabbed his junk. And this stuff that he's doing with his ex coach now.
Uh-oh.
I don't need that.
That's Moxie.
And the thing I hear about Deshaun, I hear Deshaun is a straight up solid guy. I hear that he's a guy that doesn't do bad stuff on the off the field, on his off time. He's straight up. It sounds like he's not going to get in any trouble.
maturity with Baker, he may be a guy that will be in some trouble on this offseason.
Uh-oh. Okay. All right. Moxie.
Yeah. But I definitely agree that it's I think it's unanimous amongst us, but I definitely agree it's Deshaun Watson. And I really like what Andre said here too, is, you know, I look at what he did in college as well, and, you know, he won a national championship, beat Alabama, and you know how hard that has been for anybody here in the last 8 years or so, or 10 years, how long Nick Saban has been in Alabama. And Deshaun Watson showed a lot of moxie, a lot of leadership capabilities to go along with his talent as well. So I think he has it between the ears, and he has the physical tools to go along with it. And that's what's so impressive about Deshaun Watson and what he's doing. And you saw it last year before the injury, and now you're seeing it right now. They have the longest current streak in the NFL, 9 straight wins. And he's just getting it done. And like I said, this team, I'm not ready to say they're going to the Super Bowl, but they're going to be in the hunt. And but with his leadership, as well as what that team is doing on defense and special teams too.
Mm-hmm. Good call. We're all unanimous. I love it. All right, gentlemen, we got 23 minutes here, and I'm going to kind of skip over the Patrick Mahomes thing. I think, you know, we'll talk about that in a quick second here. We've done a lot of Chiefs talk here, but let's talk about a big story that just happened: Mike McCarthy getting fired by the Packers. And I know that the Packers have definitely underachieved this year. I wonder what Big Mike would say, JQ. I don't know if you have texted you about anything. So, go ahead and leave that off, bro. Tell me your thoughts about that and what he said.
Yeah, I actually went to go holler at him. He was out having a Packers funeral in his treehouse. So I went to go holler at him for about an hour and a half. And, his thoughts on it was, and you can relate to this too, Rob, was that, you know, I know they're under siege, to your point, Dre. But he said, I wonder if we're in a position right now where a couple of years ago the Saints were with Drew Brees and Sean Payton, where they were, you know, not doing as well as you thought they should do with that kind of talent and those two guys. But they stayed the course with Sean Payton, and now you see what's happening this year. He's a little apprehensive that they fired him in the middle of the year. And if coaching change may not necessarily work out in their favor. And I was like, you're right. It really depends on who they're able to go get, because there could be coaches out there with jobs that's looking at that Green Bay job like, ooh, I'd rather have that job. They got Aaron Rodgers, and I can get some good play calling in there, and he'll be happy, and we can win. We can win another Super Bowl together. And that could be possible. So you don't know who they're going to get. So for me, I agree with him. You feel like you had to make the change. You've got to beat Arizona with a rookie quarterback. But if you fire him, who do you go get to replace him that's going to elevate you? That dude still has won a Super Bowl for you with Aaron Rodgers. So I feel like it's incomplete yet. I can't really judge it, so I know who they're going to get.
Good call.
I think
Rob,
the thing you got to look at here in this situation, well, yeah, it's interesting that Mike brought up Deshaun. I actually thought about that too when the Saints and were kind of struggling a few years ago and trying to decide what to do with Sean Payton. I think the difference in this particular situation is Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers' relationship has gotten pretty rocky. And I think ultimately, I think that's really is what led to the firing. And Drew Brees and Sean Payton, it had nothing to do with their relationship. It was their relationship has always been A1. It's just that they just had, a down period there. But this one is that McCarthy and Rodgers are just not seeing eye to eye. And so we talked about it 2-3 weeks ago here. And if they didn't turn it around, I kind of saw it coming. And I think, it didn't take Stevie Wonder to see it, that this was going to be this was going to end. If they, what I meant to say, Stevie Wonder could see it. That's what I really would have meant to say.
Yeah, we don't see it.
But, Stevie Wonder could see that this was going to end at the rate that they were going. If they're not winning football games and they're not getting along, your head coach not getting along with your star player, the head coach always goes out the door in professional sports. You know, we've seen that going back to Paul Westphal with Magic Johnson and the Lakers. And the head coach is gone, and, you know, if you're not getting along with the star player, and that's the bottom line. I think for Mike McCarthy, it's a good situation for that it happens now. It gives him a head start for any other opportunity that's going to come available, because he will get another head coaching opportunity, and he'll probably be a head coach as early as next year. You know, Andre mentioned the Cleveland Browns, and that's a possibility. I know Cleveland, I don't know if they're going to give Greg Williams a shot. I don't think they are. Lincoln Riley, there's a lot of talk about him as well, making a jump to the NFL. I can almost guarantee you, with a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, you really want an offensive-minded head coach. And I'm pretty sure that's what they're going to go out and look for. And they're going to have a strong list of candidates that are going to want to partner up with Aaron Rodgers. So it's just a matter of who that guy is. And I can't think of a name right now, but I don't think the Packers will consider Lincoln Riley, but I definitely think Cleveland will consider Lincoln Riley or Mike McCarthy.
Back up the truck.
Oh, yeah.
Curtis, Gary.
Yeah, I'm gonna run this up the flagpole. Tom Brady was one of the first people I've seen do this. I believe Drew Brees has done this. I know Peyton Manning did this.
Uh-oh.
Okay. I need the administration needs some help. So don't be the highest paid quarterback in the league. Take less money, so now we have more money over here to get you some help, to get you some backup, to pay some of these pros to be on this team to solidify some stuff. A little bit of what happened to Mike McCarthy is Aaron Rodgers, I don't believe, is a guy that feels like if I help my team out, if I help the Green Bay Packers out by taking less money, maybe they can get me some more help over here. I think he's that guy that thinks he's the best quarterback in the league, so he needs to be paid the most. And by being paid the most, that administration does not attract agents. They try to do everything to the draft. Now you got the highest paid quarterback getting younger and younger and inexperienced people on his team. This thing is on Aaron Rodgers taking that big money instead of letting these people figure out with the money how to get him some more help. I'm running that up the flagpole.
He's got money for discount double-checking State Farm. He ain't worried about that on the show. Go ahead.
Yeah, but there's – you know what? He's right. So we talk about it. We talk about it a lot on there. You talk about – think about some of these past teams. You talk about Tom Brady has taken less money. You talk about Seattle won it when Russell Wilson still on his rookie contract. You watch the Rams go all in this year because they have Jared Goff on a rookie contract. Kansas City can pay guys to come in, and they drafted well, but you can pay a Sammy Watkins to come in because you have Patrick Mahomes on a rookie contract. There's something to be said for that. I think part of the problem that Atlanta has is because they have so much money tied up in Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, where he says they can 100%. They have a hard time filling out the rest of the roster when you're paying three or four guys 25% of your salary cap. And you want that star guy, but you want that star guy to play ball with you. But the issue with that is that as soon as you start messing up or get hurt, they'll cut you in a heartbeat. And that money you left on the table to help the team, they're not going to get back to you.
Yeah. No, like you better draft well, bottom line, too. So that's good call. Yeah. We see where they're going.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I was actually thinking the same thing with JQ was thinking, you know, with the Russell Wilson comparison, the currently the Patrick Mahomes and the Jared Goff comparison. So I was actually thinking of the same thing on that. When you can get a star quarterback and he's still under their rookie contract, that's a great opportunity for you to shine and have a shot at winning it all. And even Carson Wentz last year, even though he got hurt for the playoffs, another guy under his rookie contract, and for the most part led the Eagles to a Super Bowl run last year as well under his rookie contract, which allowed him to have that cap space to fill out their roster. So those are definitely really good points.
Okay, Rob, hope you're doing good. I'm getting a little staggered. Your phone is good here. All right, real quick here. We're going to try to tag these topics in here. I don't even know why this is even a question right now. I'm kind of comparing Dak Prescott versus Blake Bortles. You probably know Dak right now because presently what's happening in Blake's world, how he's getting benched. And then let's talk about, you know, really quickly about
the Saints
losing to Dallas here. And, I mean, like you said, obviously, I know the Saints, you know, you, Robert, and Corey were overconfident. So
how the Cowboys
Detroit.
And it was interesting to see how the Cowboys kind of played that. You know, they played the ball control. They kind of, that defense was pretty fantastic for them, pretty explosive offense. I don't think you're worried about the Saints too much. I mean, obviously, you know, they had that streak, so I mean, they're 10-2, so it's not like the lapsing. I know the Saints may be a little disappointed, Saints fans. I don't think it definitely, you know, again, tarnishes them, but just more or less it's kind of lets you know that you know, how you're going to stop them, and then obviously they'll make a couple of adjustments too. So from that perspective, you know, don't worry, Rob. No one's crying for the Saints. And like that just makes it a little more difficult, if you will, for that that higher record, because you guys obviously got NFC South lockdown too. So we'll let you kind of tag team on that, Rob. Let you start, and we'll kind of kick the JQ and then my Cowboys. I actually go to Cowboys fans, if you'll let me kind of second and get that one, and we'll just kind of wrap it up too. So go ahead, Rob. This one.
Yeah, we can. I could make out what you were saying there, Andre. I don't know if it's just me. But
Rob, you keep going on the phone or whatever, where you glued or something like that. You're kind of cutting it out.
No, go ahead and call back in.
Can you hear me or you can't hear me? Okay, I think Rob's cutting it out. Hold on.
Curtis,
you guys good?
I can't hear you.
Okay.
Yeah. Andre,
can you hear me or Rob?
I can hear you now.
Okay. Yeah, we can hear you. Go ahead.
No, now I can't. It's on you.
Go ahead, Rob.
On you, Troy.
We're losing communication here.
I don't know if you guys can hear me. We apologize for the technical difficulties there, but I'm just going to know what Andre was talking in regards to the Cowboys and the Saints from the other night, and whether or not we believe that the Saints are still in a good place at this current moment. And my take on it is, I still think highly of the Saints, but there's a concern that I talked about on the show here 2 or 3 weeks ago as well. The reason why the Saints are going out looking for receiver help, don't have a legitimate deep threat now. Ted Ginn Jr. out for the year. Traquan Smith is shown last as a rookie. Dallas was able to expose that a little bit. Dallas from 7 pushed extremely well and stopped on the run. And they played man-to-man on the corner. As good as Michael Thomas is, he's not going to get much separation. You know, he's just probably a guy of a great possession receiver, and he's not going to get much separation. I actually thought Atlanta did really good in guarding the Saints, but Atlanta just couldn't stop the run, and the Saints was able to run the ball down Atlanta's throat. And then get a little play-action pass off of it. That didn't quite work against Dallas. So there is a little bit of concern there for the Saints. Obviously, every team won't have as good as a front seven as Dallas has, so that helped them out tremendously. But the Saints have at least fixed their defensive deficiencies and given up the big plays, and the acquisition of Eli Apple has really helped them in that regard. So, yes, I would still say the Saints are in a good place, but there is a little concern at the wide receiver position. Can you hear me now?
We can hear you up here. We can hear you now.
Okay.
Sorry about that. I don't know what was going on. The Saints, you know, the Cowboys and the Saints game, you know, when we talked about it last week, I said ball control, time of possession, and put pressure on Drew Brees. The Cowboys did everything they could. I think the best player that didn't even play for the Saints, but the most effective player for him was Randall Gregory of the Cowboys, who kept getting penalties to march him down the field. Because the Cowboys held him on third down, 3 of 11 on third down. Total of 176 yards. That's unheard of. I think what it did, if nothing else, it's a signature win for the Cowboys. It's only one win. That's all it counts as. But it was a huge win against a great team. But it gave that defense, definitely gave that defense confidence. And what people saw is that front seven on Dallas is absolutely no joke, and those linebackers for the Cowboys are just flying around.
Wow.
Those are some huge pluses for us, but it is just a win.
And I said that too.
But it was definitely a huge win for us, for Cowboy fans. You know, when you hold the Saints, you know, to 176 total yards, 3 of 11 on third downs, 14 first downs for that team, that was a huge defensive effort, and that's what won the ball, combination of ball control. And the play where they punched him right in the mouth is on the goal line. And those linebackers came up, and they just stuck it to him, and it was great. Robert, I got a text message from Robert congratulating the Cowboys on the win, and I was really excited about it, of course. As any of you would have been. Everybody laughed at Curtis and I. Everybody laughed at us when we said ball control.
I didn't laugh at you. Remember, I was in your court. Remember, I was saying I think the linebackers are going
to
give them a challenge.
Yeah, I'm telling you, we're going to take the Cowboys lightly.
I think that's exactly what happened. I think they thought they could put their jerseys on and go out there and beat the Cowboys, and that didn't happen. They got stuck in a dogfight, and the Cowboys gave them a minimum at home, and they just – still, the whole New Orleans, you're right, to 10 points, I would have never thought that. I would always take the
over
right now.
I'm glad,
for 23 points.
I'm glad you said that, because I think it was in 2009, and the Saints had won 10, I think 10-0 or 10-1, the same thing.
We were 13-0, actually.
Or 13-0.
Saints was 13-0, and Dallas
and
Dallas
we went
23.
And we went in to New Orleans and did it. So this is another new for us.
Hopefully 2009 repeats itself. That was the year the Saints won the Super Bowl. So we were love for that.
And they did. And I was rooting for the Saints to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I was there.
And Curtis was there.
I was there too.
Uh-oh.
I was there too. But yeah,
bring it back.
Yeah, great win for the Cowboys, and once again, congratulations. And the Cowboys' game plan worked to a T in that game. And as I said, those linebackers, Van Der Esch and Jalen Smith, oh my goodness, those guys were everywhere on that football field, and they played phenomenal. And I mean, I don't know, we had a little technical difficulties early. I don't know if you guys heard my commentary, but I actually thought. I mean, if you go back 2-3 weeks ago, or maybe 4 weeks ago, I say there was some concern at the wide receiver position for the Saints, and that's why they keep going. They signed Dez Bryant, that didn't work out. Now they have Brandon Marshall, and he's been inactive for 3 weeks, and so there's some and they lost Ted Ginn Jr. at the wide receiver position, and so their best deep threat is a rookie, Tre'Quan Smith, and so I actually thought Atlanta, you know, really took the Saints passing game away a couple of weeks ago. But Atlanta just couldn't stop the Saints from running the football. And so the Saints were running the football down Atlanta's throat, and they were just able to hit Atlanta with some play-action passes because they couldn't stop the run. But Dallas had the right personnel to stop it. They stopped the run, and if the Saints can't run, they don't have outside of Michael Thomas, who's really more of a possession receiver. He's not a deep threat. And so that's a concern for the Saints right now. I mean, obviously every team is not going to have the front seven that Dallas has, because the Saints offensive line has been able to blow people off the ball, but they couldn't do it against Dallas. So, I mean, that's a concern for the Saints, unless they can get Tre'Quan Smith up to speed. That's a real big concern for them offensively. And, you know, like I said, I actually thought, you know, Atlanta did a really good job of taking away the Saints' passing game, too. They, like I said, they just couldn't stop the run. And they were able to get some play-action passes going. So the Saints have been able, for the most part, fix their defensive issues. But I think that is a concern for them offensively. So give Dallas a lot of credit.
Well, I got a question for the group here. Is that is the recipe to beat New Orleans in the playoffs. I'm sure that the Rams were watching this. And they've got a good front line too.
Yeah, you have to have that. You have to have that that personnel, like Rob said too. Go ahead.
Well, they've got
the Rams
good,
don't have the linebackers the Cowboys have. And the Rams couldn't stop the Saints from running the football the first time they played them.
Well,
but, you know, obviously they might have an opportunity to play again. But
Dallas,
their whole front seven played well. It wasn't just two guys on the defensive line. Dallas' entire front seven played well the other night.
Yeah. They're ready. They're ready, at least. And like Jake, you said, I guess
the Saints wide receivers,
they kind of took them lightly.
Strike no fear in Dallas, so they played a man to man.
So they can do that. A little kryptonite. Like I said, it's going to be. You have to have linebackers in the front seven. Hey guys, we got about 4 minutes here. I'm going to definitely confidently say we'll talk about Dallas winning the NFC East. They're definitely up there to that perspective too. I'm going to say yes to that too, just because they're playing really well at this juncture. And then, you know, the Redskins are kind of rudderless with quarterback. And now, really quickly, looking at the chances here, and everyone can kind of piggyback this. You've got 3 minutes to get this in, so hopefully, guys, can keep it short, like 20 seconds. You know, we'll talk about what's happening with the Eagles, the Giants, and the Giants and freaking Odell Beckham. You know, talked about he didn't get that onside, you know, kick recovery, and he's talking about don't question my effort, but it's on film, bro. So right, you didn't die, man. So that looks a little sketchy if you ask me. Right now, it looks like the Seahawks are in the driving position, especially after that impressive win. But I'm going to let you guys tag team with that. Curtis, Gary, you guys can talk about the Cowboys winning if they can win the NFC East. I have a feeling you guys are going to kind of concede with that or say yes. And then really quickly, you guys have a better chance to make the playoffs. Be as brief as possible because we got like 3 minutes to get all this in. We got to get set up for the OT. So be brief as possible, if you will.
Yes, I believe the Cowboys will win the NFC East, but like any division, those division rivals, we're going to play playing the Eagles next. We'll see how that goes. You know, it's one game at a time. Your division teams know you better than anybody, so it's not going to be easy, but I am picking the Cowboys to win the East. Curtis, what about you?
Yeah, if the Cowboys, if they're going to be a team, and if they mean business, this, you know, show me. Let's do it. It's on. You guys are in the driver's seat. Get it in there.
Yes, JQ.
I think Dallas wins the East, and I think the Seahawks have the best chance out of the other three. That Seahawks defense is playing really like that. Russell Wilson is showing he's just not a game manager.
There it is.
Yeah,
Rob,
I agree.
Get
all of the above.
Yep.
I agree all of the above. I think Cowboys win the NFC East. And definitely out of those three teams, the Seahawks, the Giants, and the Eagles, the Seahawks are clearly the front runner to making the playoffs, as JQ mentioned, Russell Wilson and defense. Thank you all for tuning in. We got 2 minutes left until our live portion of the show. We certainly appreciate you all for tuning in yet again. Our next show is going to be on Tuesday night, December 11th. Tuesday night, December 11th. Not this coming Tuesday, but the following Tuesday. We'll be back on live 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for our friends on the West Coast. Once again, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Hawaii, Honolulu, what y'all doing out there? It's going to be 5 p.m. Hawaiian time and on Tuesday, December 11th. We're getting ready to go to our OT portion. Unfortunately, we can't give you this portion of our show live. Click on the same link on tomorrow. We have some more football to get into. We definitely got to get into the college football playoffs, and we may even squeeze in some basketball talk for you here in the OT portion. Good night, people.
CQ.
Yes, sir. You want to tune in because we got some Ohio State watching stuff to talk about now. Hey, let's go.
You guys rock.
We talked about Ohio State, the whole OT portion.
I love it. Hey, Robert. I will be offline right now. Curtis will be on. I've got to go take care of some personal stuff. Curtis will be online with you guys. Enjoy your evening.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you, Gary. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Appreciate you guys. Let's keep this going. All right, gentlemen, we are officially into the OT portion of the show, as we always like to talk about. And I love how it was a quick setup, JQ, as far as talking Ohio State and the college football playoffs. So we definitely want to get into that.
Really quickly,
let's kind of go over the – I love that, man. Let's really quickly go about these quick opportunities here for the predictions here. Let's talk really quickly, and we'll let you lead this off, JQ, with Baltimore at KC. And as Rob mentioned, Baltimore – has been kind of like, you know, the 700 yards of offense doing crazy stuff. Lamar Jackson doing his thing. They had some hiccups, but they ran to the Falcons today, which is, you know, whatever, disappointing to say the least. But they're going to go into that juggernaut of the offense of Kansas City. And how do you think they're going to react as far as, you know, defensively? Are they going to kind of shut down this squad, JQ?
No, I don't think so. I think they slow them down, but they won't shut them down. The problem with it is Baltimore doesn't have enough offense and doesn't have enough dynamic playmakers to really put up the points necessary to hang with Kansas City. I think they slow them down, but they don't stop them. I think Kansas City at home at Arrowhead with those weapons, they don't score 45 on Baltimore. They may score 24-28, but I can't see Baltimore being able to match them. They just don't have that right now with Lamar. If you put Aiden in the box and they can beat you throwing the ball, they won't be able to do that in Kansas City. I'm going to roll with the Chiefs.
Wow. Okay. All right. Rob?
Yeah, I like the Chiefs in this game, too. And, you know, Baltimore is going to attempt to play ball control with Lamar Jackson. And I think, as JQ mentioned, I think they slow the Chiefs down a little bit. I think the Chiefs still win this game 27-21.
Nice call.
Yeah.
What you got, Curtis?
Are we talking about the Monday night game tomorrow?
No, we're talking about
next week.
Next
Chiefs
week.
And the Ravens.
Baltimore. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Baltimore and the Ravens.
I don't think anybody cares about that Monday night game tomorrow night.
Well,
yeah.
That game goes towards what the Cowboys and what their challenges in that division and taking that division. But Baltimore, it's amazing that that rookie quarterback they have has given them that boost. Lamar Jackson, and he's that defense, they may have the most legit defense in the league right now. That defense is for real. Terrell Suggs and the energy he brings to that defense is amazing. So for me,
he's got to be like 80 years old.
But he's still a monster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's still a monster. Yeah, so yeah, I'm picking them. But, you know, they went ugly. And, you know, I don't expect that to ever change. And I would like to think that Baltimore team has that same team with Ray Lewis that went in New England and beat New England in New England. I would like to think they have that kind of team. I would like to think that.
All right. Well, like I said, I know we kind of mentioned the Monday night game. Again, I don't think it's as exciting as it could be. I know earlier it could have been a big-time matchup, the Redskins at the Eagles here. And right now, because of the quarterback play for the Redskins, I may give the slight edge to the – not slight, may give the edge to the Eagles. But like I said, not by much because, again, unless something happens dramatically, and I know the Eagles have to definitely come correct with Carson Wentz not playing his best too. So, like I said, it's lost a little luster on that particular matchup. You just want to throw that out there, if you will, too. But we'll keep the score.
I guess, you know, that game tomorrow night is, you know, I said nobody cares, but in actuality, that's a big game in a wild card race. And
sure.
Because if you look at it right now, the Redskins are 6-5, and they hold the number 6 spot. And if the Eagles win, both of those teams would be 6-6. And the Vikings will move back to the 6th spot at 6-5-1. Those teams only be a half game back. But obviously, if the Redskins somehow win that game, they're 7-5 right with the Cowboys. Although the Cowboys on the tiebreaker right now. So, I mean, they're, you know, as Curtis mentioned, there's a lot of importance in that game still when you talk about the NFC East and the wild card race.
And if Washington wins, it also affects Seattle. And their positioning and what wild card spot they end up.
I don't think the Washington's going to win. But, yeah, good call. Hey, JQ, really quick, let's talk about this. Now, the Colts at the Texans here, and we talked about how we love
Sean Watson here, and I'll tell you something as far as really quickly. Looking at, you know, Andrew Luck, he had that little phenomenal streak, and then obviously they get knocked down by the Jacksonville Jaguars today. And then this is strength on strength because apparently the Colts have a great offensive line, and then the Texans have a great defense. So what say you about this, JQ?
Yeah, I think the swarm continues a little bit there for the Colts. I mean, they had a nice run going. But so I see the Texans get beat. I'm going with the Texans right now. They have figured out their formula. They're playing very sound defense and putting it on Sean Watson and Lamar Miller. And, you know, don't forget about Hopkins out there. So I like the Texans. I just think they have it. I think they have it going right now in all phases of the game. I think it's going to be tough. That's a tough two step for Indianapolis to take, to face Jacksonville, but that defense should be. And what they showed today, they didn't have to go play the Texans the next week. I mean, I know those are conference games, but back-to-back, that's pretty rough. I'm going with Houston.
Yeah, I'm going with the Texans as well in this game. They're at home. Colts had an opportunity to at least tie the Texans the first time they played them through that. But I like the Texans in this game, too. I think you saw the Colts struggle against the Jaguars. I don't think they'll get shut out 2 weeks in a row. But I definitely think the Texans will do a really good job against them as well. I'm going 27-17 Texans.
Nice. Hoo-hoo. And Curtis, I'm sorry, if you want to, you know, add your thoughts, let us know, too. If not, we'll just keep this, we'll keep pushing, too. We got some fun here as well here. Wow, Rams at Bears. Ooh. Okay, LA,
ooh.
West Coast, Curtis, what you got for me? Go ahead.
LA is winning. They got a good team, and they're convinced they got a good team. They're playing for home field throughout. I'm not that sure Chicago is that really that good as a team. Yeah, you know, there's still some question marks there. And from what I understand, all their stars are on defense.
Ooh.
Offense for Chicago, you know, their first five stars are defensive stars. Their offensive stars, they're a little bit hard to find. I think the Rams are playing. They're playing for home field advantage throughout the playoffs. They go to Chicago. Maybe a snowstorm. It may be 20 degrees. And they win it, and they win it ugly. I'm going Rams 32, Chicago 24.
Wow. Thank you.
Yeah, I was going to say that, and I was going to put a caveat on it. I know we're not supposed to, but if it's cold and nasty weather, I think the Bears find a way, exactly what you said, to win an ugly game. Because I believe that weather is the ultimate equalizer to slow a high-powered offense down. But if they mess around and go to Chicago and just get like a windy day, but it's like 52 degrees or 50, I think the Rams can overcome it. I think they have more talent offensively. Then I just don't think – you saw it today. The Bears still have a good defense, but those weapons the Giants had gave them problems. And the Rams come in town, they have a lot of those same weapons. So if you couldn't handle it with the Giants, you know, you're going to have the same problem with the Rams, with the only caveat being the weather, because they're going to be playing Chicago. If it's ugly, weather-wise, I pick Chicago. But if it's just, you know, slightly in the middle, I'm going to go with the Rams.
Go ahead, Rob.
The frozen tundra of Soldier Field.
Oh, I should have had that queued up.
23 degrees on next Sunday night is a forecast. 23 degrees with strong winds.
Uh-oh.
23. Go ahead and hit it, Andre.
Hold on, here we go.
And the Rams were leaving L.A. in 70 degrees.
There we go.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
That cracks
the frozen tundra of Soldier Field. 23
yeah.
degrees, strong wind, 10 to 15 mile per hour wind, right off of Lake Michigan in Chicago. The Windy City.
Yep.
The rain on Sunday night in Chicago.
I love
20
it.
To 17.
I was going to say really quick.
So that's going to be the Sunday night game on NBC?
Yeah, Sunday night
so.
At
yeah,
night,
yeah.
23 degrees, strong winds. I got to go with Chicago in a mild upset.
And this is the thing too. I love all your points. And it's funny, really quickly, because I love how you mentioned, like, you know, Chicago, the offensive weapons. It kind of felt like both, not to, you know, talk about your team, JQ, it feels like, you know, Kevin White's been the John Ross. This hasn't been a lot of injury problems. That was supposed to be a big play wide receiver. He has not made it any time on the field. So, you know, you got Tariq Cohen that's doing this thing. And then also, you know, Tyler Gabriel, a couple, like, you don't have, like, that big time, like, number one receiver. So that's where they are going to struggle, too. And even though Tariq is good, you don't really have that. I mean, obviously, Howard is doing this thing, but you kind of need that, you know, a big-time wide receiver to kind of, like, help offensively, too. So they don't have the weapons. Defense is great, but they're still missing the other component. And like I said, the jury's still out on Mitch Trubisky, too. So we'll see how he performs as well. All right, last game.
Oh, we have to see if he's going to be healthy. He's missed 2 weeks in a row.
That, too. Mm-hmm. Yep, 100%. Last game we want to talk about before we get to college football stuff. Let's talk about the Vikings at the Seahawks, if you will. Again, there's a lot of questions about Kirk Cousins, Rob. And now he's going to go to a pretty heavily, you know, proud Seahawks team. So what say you about this one?
I tell you what. You know, the Vikings paid all this money to Kirk Cousins. But in from what I can see, and I know I wear glasses, but it looks like that's been a downgrade from Case Keenum, in my opinion, from what the Vikings had last year.
Ooh.
And Kirk Cousins is really not really lighting up the scoreboard. And, I mean, earlier this year he showed some flashes. But, I just don't see the value in what they paid Kirk Cousins versus what they were getting out of Case Keenum last year. Yeah, I really don't. But that being said, I believe that's the Monday night game next week, Vikings at Seahawks. I like the Seahawks at home. JQ talked about it. We all talked about it. Russell Wilson is quietly continuing playing great football up there in the Pacific Northwest. Once again, very efficient today, 4 touchdown passes. Their defense is playing well. This is quietly one of Pete Carroll's best jobs that he's done. Obviously, he's taken the team to 2 Super Bowls, 1 victory, 1 loss. But he's doing a phenomenal job. I like Seattle in this game. They have this kind of like Chicago at night. Don't know what the weather's going to be like, but that's going to be a tough place to win on a Monday night. I like Seattle. I'm going 30-23.
That crowd is going to be insane for that game. Mm-hmm. I totally agree with that. And the other piece of it is, I'm going to hold judgment on Kirk Cousins, because I think last year is that, you know, I don't think the league really took Thielen and did quite as seriously as they should have taken them. And those guys came out, and they came out of nowhere. Now you've got a year of preparing for those guys, how they run their routes, how they want to do certain things. I think you see a sort of adjustment to them mostly. And you notice this year, Kyle Rudolph hasn't been the same as he was last year. I think that's a big piece of Minnesota has to figure out how to get Kyle Rudolph back over the middle when he's got to get one-on-one coverage when you have those two guys on the outside where the safeties have to worry about them. So I think there's an adjustment period being had there in Minnesota with a new quarterback and the league catching up to him. But even outside of that, man, going to Seattle and having to play on Monday night with that team playing the way they're playing, that crowd's going to be roaring. I think it's going to be a 27-23 kind of game for Seattle, but I think Seattle wins.
Yeah, and looking at the forecast there, what else is new? It's going to be raining in Seattle, 40 degrees, the crowd's going to be rocking, as JQ mentioned. And that's a good point that you're making about the Vikings, and I'll add another caveat to that as well. Is that the Vikings' offensive line is not playing as well as they did last year, and so they don't have an effective running game, and the Vikings are struggling to run the football this year too, and so that's another thing that I think is really hurting Kirk Cousins. Last year, even after Cook got hurt, they were still effective running the football with Latavius Murray, and this year they can't get an effective running game with both Cook or Murray, and a lot of that has to do with their offensive line struggles.
Curtis in the backyard, Curtis.
Yeah, the Seattle fans are seething at the bit. Everybody's happy in Seattle. Seattle has their destiny in their own hands, and they're looking. You know the Rams have already locked up the division in the West.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So Seattle's playing. Yeah. So Seattle's playing for the highest wild card, and there's.
their schedule is shaping up that that's the game they get, and they run it out. They got to get this game. They got to get that Minnesota game. Prime time, Monday night.
Yep.
I have been in Seattle. I was in the Seattle when the earthquake game, I called it, because
that stadium
registered on the Richter scale.
Yes, it did. And
against the Saints. And that was Marshawn Lynch
that
ran over all of them. I was there.
Yep.
And it registered on the Richter scale.
Nice.
I don't think this game was going to be as big as that, and that was a playoff game. But it's going to be rocking. And it's I'm picking Seattle. Seattle doesn't really blow you out. So Russell and Wilson, they get 28 points. It was wild. You know, Russell Wilson barely, I don't think he got 200 yards, but he got 4 touchdowns today. Yeah. He was as efficient
as 185 yards and 4 touchdowns. So
four touchdowns.
7 completions with touchdowns.
Yeah. I'm not really sure what kind of game I watched today in Seattle. That game was odd, and the defense looked bad in spots, but they took the ball away a lot, and they even got a 98-yard run back by Wagner off a defensive mess up, an offensive mess up. But I mean, Minnesota's playing for their lives. Minnesota has to know what kind of predicament they're in. They are in not a good predicament. But I don't think they get it done in Seattle. I think Seattle gets 28. I think they might get 20.
Gotcha. All right, finally, good job, guys, on the recap of that, too. So let's get into some college football here. I know we've got to move on for the show here. So we've got 10 minutes here. Let's talk really quickly. I'm going to let Jake lead this off. And I guess we'll talk about the college football playoff committee. Gentlemen, I was recouping from a crazy night, so I'm looking back and forth about the comments, and I'm cracking up because, you know, as a Georgia Tech fan, obviously, you know, it sees me a lot of joy to see Georgia be in pain. But I guess the question is, did they get it right as far as everything that happened? And it looks like they kind of got it right, even though I was listening to a lot of the commentary about the 4 best teams should go in there, and there's arguments on both sides as far as, I know there's a lot of Georgia love, a lot of Georgia hate. Because you look at the four teams, right? And you look at Oklahoma, they've only beat Texas. If you think about it, I mean, strength of schedule, a couple things like that. Obviously, Georgia had that bad loss at LSU, and obviously lose to Alabama. But they're one of the top teams, if you will. So it's like that argument. Now, I like how the
don't get me started with Georgia.
Games. I know, but I'm just saying. But I'm just
about
saying
to get me fired
here
up
in
now.
Georgia. That is the argument that we're ready to, because they're like, hey, just pick the 4 best teams. And so is Georgia one of the 4 best teams? And obviously that's just up for debate, because it's obviously somebody's opinion. And I know, JQ, you get the – it's always, you know, Ohio State. They always get the good win, and they always get that one bad loss that just that hurts them. Because if you look at Ohio State, and Haskins definitely should win the Heisman too, by the way, you know, it's always that one freaking loss, because I think talent-wise it would be a good matchup – see them play in Alabama. So it's tough from that perspective, if you will. And then obviously Notre Dame, whatever, they kind of figured, hey, they've been undefeated, and so whatever. And then, you know, obviously Clemson is going to do their thing too. So I like how it kind of like the matches look pretty good. I think that Oklahoma is going to get destroyed by Alabama, but that's neither here nor there. But it is what it is. So what do you think about that, JQ? And I'll let Rob kind of wrap it up too, if you will. So go ahead.
Yeah, but if I'm being honest, I think Ohio State would have had a hard time with Alabama as well, if you're just being objective, being honest, which I've seen from the Buckeyes.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, I'm 100% with Ross. That whole Georgia talk to me is ridiculous. You cannot, under no circumstances, put a 2-loss non-conference champion in over Oklahoma, who's a 1-loss conference champion, and Ohio State, who's a 1-loss conference champion. I'm pissed at the fact that, you know, it doesn't really matter, because Ohio State not being in is going to send them to the Rose Bowl regardless to play Washington. But the slap in the face to put Georgia – above them in the last ranking, you know, as a two-loss non-conference champion is just reeks of SEC bias. And I understand the SEC has been phenomenal. I'm not trying to take that away from them. But you can't go so far to the right with it that you do that. The fact that you even really – it seems like they had a for real conversation about whether or not to put Georgia in as four over those two teams. That, to me, is what's crazy. Ohio State blew it for themselves. I'm a big Ohio State fan. But you can't get blown out by Iowa last year. You can't get blown out by a 56 Purdue team this year. That you had that in your hands and you blew it, and that's your own fault. Yeah, they had an argument to be made. They had the best win in Michigan, but they had the worst loss in Purdue, and I think that held them back at first, especially with all the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde they've had happening. So, you know, I understand why they didn't make it. But, yeah, my beef is just with the whole context of even talking about Georgia for the fourth spot and then leaving them, you know, putting them only back one. They blew that game yesterday. I mean, make no bones about it. You're up 28-14 in your backyard, and you blow that game, and you go for that crazy fake punt, and you miss the field goal. That's on Georgia. They shouldn't be rewarded for that. And I think that's what you're doing. I'm saying, well, they played them tough. Well, they should have won. So don't reward them for playing them tough when they should have won. They blew the game. That to me is ridiculous. But I think ultimately, given what's happened, Oklahoma, yeah, you're right. They only got the Texas win, but they don't have a bad loss. And that basically is what's the deal for them in the sporting life.
Yeah, fair enough. Rob?
Yeah, this is the Georgia, that is nonsense. First of all, yesterday was a playoff game for Georgia, and they lost. That was their playoff game. That was their playoff game. They win, they're in. And they lost.
Sure.
And they lost in their home state. They lost in their own backyard in the virtual home game, and they lost. They had an opportunity to play themselves in, and they lost. And let's face it.
You're right.
The top. Georgia has two top 25 wins to my count, Florida and Kentucky. That's it. Texas got two top 25 wins to my count, and that's West Virginia and Texas.
Oklahoma.
And they went to West Virginia. Yeah, Oklahoma, I'm sorry. Oklahoma went to West Virginia and won, and Oklahoma won in the Big 12 championship game in Dallas, in Texas, State. So my thing is, okay, they both got two top 25 wins, and one of them has one loss and one has two losses. I mean, it's a no-brainer to me. I mean, yeah, Georgia had a chance to go and win the game basically in their home state, and they lost to Alabama, unfortunately. And as JQ mentioned, they had opportunities to win that game. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Georgia, in my opinion, shouldn't even be ranked ahead of Ohio State. And to me, that was ridiculous. You know, with the real talk of trying to put them in, like I said, Georgia beat Florida and Kentucky.
I'm not talking junk because I can care less about Georgia. You know me, I'm a Georgia Tech fan, so they can suck it for all
but
I care.
Just,
but you know
the Georgia fans are in nonsense, though. Man, they so unrealistic.
I'm with you.
Their one loss to Texas, Oklahoma's one loss to Texas, only by a field goal, 48-45. Game was in Dallas. LSU destroyed Georgia by like 36-16, 20-point victory. I mean, obviously that was kind of like in the middle of the season. But, I mean, to me, Oklahoma has a better resume than Georgia. And Ohio State has a better resume than Georgia. And in actuality, what I would have loved to see in a perfect world was that Oklahoma and Ohio State kind of playing like a wild card game.
A play-in game.
And obviously Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, undefeated, they deserve to be in. But it would have been nice to see Oklahoma and Ohio State kind of playing like a play-in, if you will, wild card game, and the winner goes against Alabama. To me, that would have been nice to see.
Hey,
that
Chris,
was crazy,
quickly. I know. I want Chris to talk about Washington, the Rose Bowl, Washington at the Ohio State. What are your thoughts about that?
I'm picking Ohio State, but boy – what a classic Rose Bowl! You know, what a Rose Bowl that goes back to the days, the Woody Hayes days, and the Washington Craig James and those days. You know, Washington, Ohio State, the Pac-12 And last year, the Pac-12 didn't fare well at all in bowl games. I think they only won one of the six that the Pac-12 games were in. So the Pac-12 is aware of that. They want a better showing this year. Yeah, they want a better show this year in the Pac-12, the teams that get matched up. But that's the classic Rose Bowl. That's a Rose Bowl that I might even want to go to see Washington and Ohio State. And
you
I'll look
go
at
to
it. But, well, yeah, I'm going to, you know, I'm thinking. Yeah. There's some things I heard comedians. I've heard comedians say you can never be rich if you have kids. I don't have kids, and I also if you have kids, you can't be rich. But I'm also
I'm not claiming to be rich with kids.
Yeah, I'm probably thinking the same thing. Wrap it up. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm not in a relationship, so I'm not spending my money on some pretty lady. So I got a little bit of disposable income. I say this. The only thing I like about the internet is that. With the internet and some money,
be careful.
You can get a ticket to anything in the world you want.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Where are you going to go with that?
What's about to happen?
I was like, wait a minute. I thought I was going somewhere else, dude.
So I was prepared for anything right there.
Curtis, bro. With the internet, I'm like,
yeah, he's 100% right, though. I like it. Ooh, man. But you know what? You're right. That is. Listen, and just
it's like
just
JQ
to tie
goes to the baseball all-star game every year.
Oh, no, yeah, that's the one thing I go to, and I can plan for it a year in advance. I just can't up and go to the Rose Bowl on 30 days' notice. I'm not going to do that. But you know what? He's 100% right, though. And when I saw what was happening and knew what the probable outcome was going to be, you know, I'm old enough as an Ohio State fan to remember when winning the Big Ten title and going to the Rose Bowl was the thing. That was what you wanted when you started every season. That was the goal. And then you went to sit follow they made in terms of what the polls ranked you in terms of winning the national championship that way. But the goal was always to get to the Rose Bowl and play against the Pac-12. So a piece of me is not overly upset about it because we had a bad loss to Purdue, but we're still going to the Rose Bowl, the granddaddy of them all. We've won the Big Ten. We're going to the Rose Bowl. I'm okay with that as an Ohio State fan because, you know, like I said, I'm old enough to remember when every year when football season started, that's what you played for.
Nice.
Good call. All right. Like I said, again, Curtis, thanks for keeping my heart moving for that, too. I had no idea where you were going with that, too. Really quickly, I will say this too, and just a small tidbit, man. Just happy that Paul Johnson has retired, even though we may kind of take a step back for Georgia Tech.
Right.
You know, I'm kind of definitely happy to see what's going to happen for the future, man. And I hope we get the guy from Clemson, you know, whatever, Tony Elliott, man. That's the rumor, man. So I can only wish and hope, man. We may take a step back, but hopefully we'll get rid of the triple option forever. All right, that's my little side note about that. Hey, JQ, you want to recap really briefly Ohio State at Northwestern? I know you can comment on whatever you want to comment on that, too. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it was really they jumped out quickly, and then they do what Ohio State does, and they let Northwestern back in the game, giving up big run plays, not playing the defense they can play, and then Haskins, like you talked about it, Dwayne Heisman, you know, 499, and I believe he threw 5 touchdown passes. I mean, he was just ridiculous in that game. He's got 47 now for the year, not to include these championship games. He was ridiculous, and he was the difference. But they just had too much speed for Northwestern, just too many more athletes than them. They only let Northwestern in the game by making mistakes with penalties and the bad interception that he had in that game. But I think if we knew if they came out and played to the 80% they played in the Michigan game, that they would be okay, and that's what they did. But it wasn't enough to leapfrog Oklahoma because they let that game like 55-7. And they still won by 21 points. And I'll take it. Like I said, Big Ten title, Rose Bowl bid. I'm okay with that. So they did what they needed to do in terms of winning the Big Ten, but they didn't do enough to really make a more of a solid case to make the college football playoff.
Rob, you want to comment on that? You want to let what say you?
Yeah, I mean, JQ covered it, obviously. That's his team. And so I'm always a believer. Nobody knows their team better than true fans of their team. And but, yeah, just from my perspective, Dwayne Haskins was phenomenal in that game. As JQ mentioned, 499 yards, 405 touchdowns. What's the wide receiver name? Dixon? Seven catches for 100-something yards in that game, two touchdowns. Yeah, so, I mean, he was the main target for Dwayne Haskins, and he definitely and rightfully put himself in the Heisman conversation, even though I still think it's Tua to lose.
I think it's only the three quarterbacks that go, right? Tua, Kyle, and Dwayne. I don't think anybody else
is. Yeah. That's it.
Those are the three guys. Yep. 100%.
Kyler Murray, I tell you, he had some heck of a plays in that game, too, for Oklahoma yesterday. He had some great throws, too.
Yeah, all right, we're going to wrap this up with some. We've got enough time, and I'm not sure the ladies are going to cut us off yet, but if we can fit this in really quickly about the Lakers, talk about, you know, and this is for Curtis and JQ, unless you want to add something, Rob, we'll wrap this up here. Regarding, you know, how is he doing it with his teammates? LeBron James Jr. Is on USC's radar, and then obviously USC's men's basketball, they have that number recruiting class for 2019. I may let Rob talk about that. So, Jake, you lead us off. Curtis, you can do that, and then Rob, let's wrap it up. And probably have to wrap the show, too. I think it's getting kind of close to that time. Go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, just quickly on the Lakers is that I'm a tad bit worried. And while they're playing well, I think Mike Johnson hit it on the head. They don't want to run that Cleveland offense where they have to solely rely on him. But he has to find a way to let those young guys grow as well. And I think the problem they may actually run into here shortly is that they're so young. But they're still in awe of LeBron. I grew up watching him dominate. It's going to get to a point where they start to see him more as a peer and then maybe start having some of that, you know, frustration with, you know, if he tries to push their buttons a certain way in the media and whatnot, to where that kind of that aura kind of rubs off and he just becomes a teenager there. So I worry about how long that's going to happen. If it happens, will that take to happen for them? He's got to find a way to help develop them as well. So, you know, I like the fact that they aren't, you know, 10 games on the 500. Don't get me wrong. But they got to find a way to get Brandon Ingram also to be able to play well when he's off the court with LeBron. They really haven't clicked quite as yet. And when you don't trade Brandon Ingram to go get a Paul George or something like that, and then he doesn't click with LeBron on the court, now what do you do? You know, do you shop him quietly behind the scenes? Does his value take a hit because the product isn't great for other GMs to evaluate? They're in a really strange kind of place right now to where they're succeeding, but I don't think it's still firing quite on all cylinders. So I'm hopeful, you know, cautiously optimistic, but I still feel like there's a bit of a chance of where things can go wrong here in the near term. Is that, you know, oh my God, that's LeBron. They just start looking like that's my teammate LeBron. He's got to get me more involved and allow me to be more involved before they start some of that infighting.
Cool. Nice call. Go ahead, Curtis.
It's LeBron. And, like, you know, it's before the All-Star break, so LeBron's trying to figure some stuff out. They're hoping Brandon Ingram, you named it, we're hoping LeBron, Brandon Ingram can be that second superstar. But what works and what's eventually going to work and what has always worked with LeBron is he's going to be your point forward. He's going to be the man handling the ball most of the time, if not all the time. What works with LeBron is surround him with shooters, surround him with a Ray Allen, with Kyrie Irving, with somebody that's going to hit that shot, that shot when it gets flung out to him. And that's what the Lakers are missing at the moment. And when you're talking about trades and stuff, if LeBron's going to be your point forward, you don't need Rondo. You don't need Ball. You don't need these point guards that the Lakers are still holding. When the trade deadline comes, they might have to be gone. Because what's going to work eventually in Los Angeles is going to be LeBron ball-centric and get us some shooters. Get us some people that can hit that shot.
Nobody wants to deal with LeVar Ball. That's going to be a hard time dealing with LeVar Ball. I mean, truth be told, he's quieted down a little bit here lately. But everybody knows that the drop of the hat to the LeVar Ball show can get that going. And no organization wants that. I told these two guys before that I didn't want Lonzo Ball for that exact reason. And they married to that circus now. And it is what it is. They made that choice. But if I'm really GM, I don't want to have to deal with LeVar Ball questioning the coach and the GM at whenever he feels like it and just, you know, total disruption we have going. I don't want no parts of that.
Yeah, you don't know. I agree with you wholeheartedly, yeah. JQ. Even though we did give you a hard time. That was pretty funny, but go ahead.
But I thought about that too when they signed Rondo. I didn't think that was necessarily a good fit because, you know, LeBron is ball dominant. He likes to have the ball in his hands to create the offense for either himself or others. And so I wonder how that was going to fit. And the idea coming in was to have LeBron play more off the ball, but it just doesn't seem like that's working. It just seems like that they are a better team with him controlling the basketball and making things better for those young guys and giving them something, helping them to create shots for them and things of that nature. So I think that's a really good point that Curtis is making because from what I can see from my observations, when he has the ball in his hands, they're a better team than they are when he does not have the ball in his hands. And that's why you can see that they've been playing, you know, better of late because of that. And I know that's not what Luke Walton wanted when he brought LeBron in. They really wanted to play him off the ball more. But as we saw in every other place he's played, they're just a better team with the ball in his hands.
Rob, I know you probably get to JQC. I'll let you finish your thought. But I do wonder, and since you guys watched the Lakers, does that have more to do with, like, Rondo being out that he's kind of doing it? Because I think Rondo was brought in to kind of help facilitate that. But that's just me kind of looking from the outside looking in. And you can add that to JQ. What's your thought, too? Yeah, go ahead.
I think the issue is, and Nick Curtis has talked about it, I think it's really Brandon Ingram. They want him to play off the ball, but it doesn't work. And Rob is absolutely right. They got to get to a point where they can have him hand the ball, LeBron, that is, and develop other players so they can get to a point where he can play off the ball. But they aren't to a point yet where he can play off the ball and be successful. So you got to have somebody step forward, whether it's Kuzma taking another step forward, whether it's Brandon Ingram, or whether it's Lonzo for real having a for real conversation with himself in the mirror and say, hey, I got to fix my jump shot. They need one of those guys that can come down there and initiate the offense consistently to where they can succeed and they can play LeBron off the ball and they can give him more rest and he can do some of those other things that we know he can do off the ball. But right now that doesn't work. They try force feeding that early, and when they do that, they run into problems. So they have a real delicate blend of trying to have him do that to be successful now, but also develop the other players so they can kind of, you know, swing it the other way through just natural progression of, now that you're able to do this, I can trust you to do this, now I can give you more freedom to have the ball, and I don't have to be as ball-centric. But right now they can't do that if they want to win games.
Gotcha. Good call. All right, gentlemen. Hey, I know I'm fearful of the way you're going to jump in on us here. So, Rob, can you go ahead and wrap this up? It's been a pleasure talking sports with you guys, as always.
Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you all for tuning in again. Another episode of Talking Sports with a 12th Man. We appreciate you all tuning in. We're going to be back on the air on Tuesday night, December the 11th, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So we don't want to miss it on Tuesday night, December the 11th. Please, you know, continue to write us on Facebook and Twitter. Let us know if you agree with our thoughts or disagree with this. Give us your comments. We're going to keep you posted on what's happening in the sports world. Check out USC. You got four of the top 30 players going to USC for basketball, not football. They're trying to get in the likes of Kentucky and Duke. We'll talk about that a little later. Good night, people.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Happy holidays. Happy holidays. Be safe.
Nice.
Yes, absolutely. Everybody get the trees decorated. I had to do that today. Get the girls off my back. But, you know, I got my Ohio State ornaments on there as well. Go, guys. I appreciate y'all listening to the show.
You got Ohio State ornaments on your tree?
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
man,
back that up.
Oh,
what's
yeah.
The ornament? What type of ornament do you have? Is it a Buckeye? What you got over there, bro?
Oh, I got a couple of different ones. I'll send you a picture of them. I got, you know, like a glass one.
Please do.
One
I'm curious to see. I'm like, Rob, what you got, bro?
Oh, yeah.
He said he's all in.
I'm all in. I'm foolish about it. So, yeah, I'll send y'all a picture. Hey, I appreciate
Please
y'all,
do.
Man. Enjoy the talk there. Yep.
All right,
Marvin
guys.
Lewis
hey, man,
finally done
week.
In Cincinnati?
Uh-oh.
Is who?
It's Marvin Lewis.
Is Marvin Lewis finally done in Cincinnati?
Listen here, Marvin Lewis is like Twinkies and cockroaches. At the end, when the nuclear war happens, those three people will always survive. I won't believe it until I see them do it. That's where I am with him. That he can survive a nuclear war.
Wow.
Like Andre said, he must have
nuclear war. Dirty pictures. I mean, all kind of nasty pictures. So until I see it happen, I can't comment on it. I don't think so. I'm just being honest.
Oh my gosh. I can't.
He's got a lot of built-in excuses. He's got to go with the injuries.
Yeah, whatever.
JQ.
I'm sorry.
He keeps it real.
I'm better.
No, we're not making fun of you, but it's just, I mean. It's like
keeping it real goes wrong.
Keep it real can definitely
it's
go
true.
Wrong. Hey, hey, but you guys are awesome. Again, Curtis, thanks for sticking to this. We kind of like get a little kind of crazy near the end of the show, man, as we wrap it up too. But again, guys, appreciate you guys listening to us. Download the show, as Rob said. See you guys next week and have a great week. Keep those texts coming. And like I said, we'll definitely have some exciting talk next week as the week materializes. But be good, guys, and we'll talk to you guys again, okay?
Yes, sir.
Good night, people.
Have a good week, y'all.
Good night, people. Good night.